2 Samuel chapter 12. So you know that there was a king in Israel. The Bible says in the day when kings go forth to battle, David stayed home. And he went out observing the area. He saw a beautiful young woman bathing. And he sent a messenger and said, bring her here. And the days that followed, the activity that followed, she became pregnant. And the biggest concern became that her husband was away fighting that battle where David should have been. And so he said, go get him and bring him home. And so Uriah came home and went to the king, and he said, yes, king. And he said, go home. He said, no, I can't go home. I have responsibilities. I'm supposed to be out there with my guys, and I shouldn't be here enjoying, you know, this feast, and I shouldn't go home and enjoy my wife. I need to be back with my guys. And no matter what David did, he couldn't get that guy to go home. And so he says, well, obviously, if she turns up pregnant and he knows he never went home, that's going to cause a problem. And so David sent Uriah with a note to his commanding officer that said, put him on the front line. He delivered his own execution note. And he was on the front lines and he died. And so David's little secret stays between him and Bathsheba and the few servants that were involved. Except there is nothing hidden from God. We need to know that. There is nothing hidden from God. And so the preacher shows up and he knocks on David's door. And that's what 2 Samuel chapter 12 is. And I imagine that David, you know, as the preacher comes in, David says, Brother Nathan, I'm so glad you're here. It's been such a long time. Boy, how you been? What can I help you do? You're such a great man of God. And Nathan says, King, let me tell you a story. And he said, what you got, preacher? And Nathan says, there was a man. There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. Verse 2, the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. Verse 3, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he bought, nourished up. It grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. Right? This lamb is not like the great stock that the rich man had, but this was a family pet. Living in the house, eating from the table, laying on his own chest. Verse 4, there came a traveler unto the rich man. He spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man. And just pause just a moment and understand that that wayfaring man, that traveler, is temptation. How many of you feel like you're always, don't raise your hand on this, like you're always tempted? I would say most of us say, no, we rarely ever have a temptation. But what happens is, temptation travels around, and this week it might be at your house, and next week at your neighbor's house. And so most of the time we do fine. No sin, no temptation, no worries, living close to God, living in prayer, and being good Christians. And then one day, the traveler stops in. The traveler called temptation. And that's what we're looking at here. When that temptation visits, and he says, he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. David's listening to this story. He becomes indignant, infuriated. How awful that rich man could take advantage of that poor man, and he's got so much and he has only one, and he took it, and it wasn't even for himself. It was to fulfill the needs of temptation or of a wayfaring stranger. How could anyone do such a thing? Verse 5, David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." I want you to understand that verse number 5 and 6 is what we call blind justice. Blind justice. Because it doesn't matter if it was my friend or my son or me. If it's wrong, it's wrong. When the preacher showed up and he told the story, he left out names, didn't he? Because had there been a name attached, David might have realized that this was a story about a friend. And how can I exact such justice against a friend? Or maybe against his son. And we see in David's life later how that he compromised on some things to do with his son. But it wasn't about that either. You see, without names in it, we just say right is right, wrong is wrong. And it doesn't matter what name's attached. Right is right, and wrong is wrong. Look at verse number 1. It said, "The Lord sent Nathan unto David." I want you to understand something. As, you know, pastoring for 30 years, I understand that statement. And I want you to know that as a man and as a friend, there have been issues that have come up with people in the congregation, and the last thing I wanted to do was deal with that situation. I would rather have done anything than have to confront them on their sin. Sometimes egregious, awful things that we wouldn't even want to talk about publicly. But the word came back to me, and as the pastor, as a fellow church member, it was my responsibility, and I went in the grace and the leadership of the Lord and dealt with those situations. And I want you to know I didn't want to, and Nathan didn't want to either. But understand that the longer we delay our approach to the issue, the harder it will be to address. The longer we let it slide, the harder it will be to bring it up. And the Lord sent Nathan. Guess what? Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man." Don't you know his blood ran cold when he realized that story was about him? Not some unnamed rich man. It's easy to get mad at unnamed rich people, isn't it? It's easy to let them divide us, rich and poor. The different classes of different economic advantages. Nathan said, "David, thou art the man." Oof. But he's not done yet, is he? He said, "He has anointed thee." The Lord God of Israel said, "I have anointed thee king over Israel." What a privilege. Wow. King. How many of you think that Charles is happy to be king? All right, you look, all of his life he's been a prince, and now all of a sudden he's king. And I don't know that he really cares that much. It doesn't really matter to me. They're over there, we're over here. But, you know, I think of that, we had a governor, and I'm sorry, I don't remember who it was. It might have been Lawton Childs that died in office with 4 days left in his term. And what was the other guy's name? McKay? I thought that was it. So McKay became governor like 4 days. Like you say, for 4 days? But he is governor, right? That's an achievement. God made David king over Israel. Over his people. How do you just let that go. That's a big deal, to be king of Israel. God says, I anointed thee king of Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. Saul tried to kill David. You remember, even in the house as they ate, Saul tried to kill David. There were attempts on David's life. Chased him through the wilderness trying to catch him. And God said, I delivered you from your enemy. So he's been given a great opportunity. He's been delivered from the hand of his enemy. Verse 8, I gave thee thy master's house. He's been provided with this great place to live and his wives, and gave thee the house of Israel and Judah. So all of this is under your command. And then look at this right here, verse 8. You got to see it. If that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Here's my question. Consider all that God has given us. How many of us were born in this great country? Were you born here? Some of y'all traveling from other countries or what? Can't raise your hand. Born in this great country. What a blessing. You realize how different would your life be had you been born in India or Russia or South America or Africa? How different would our lives be if we weren't born in America? Man, that's like being anointed king over Israel. I mean, what a privilege, what a blessing. Not only do we live in America, we live in Florida. Woo! Praise the Lord for that. By the way, if you don't like it, go somewhere else. That's all. And if you don't like America, go somewhere else. That's okay. Nobody holding you hostage here. I praise God we live here. We've been given a great house, haven't we? Look at our blessings. Look at who we are. Look at our health. Man, praise God. Brother Rodney gives testimony this morning. Thank God I'm here. And he's been on a journey that none of us want. He's still on that journey. And praise God for that. That he's recovering, that he's doing well. But look at the rest of us. Aren't we so glad that we're in good health? You say, well, Pastor, I didn't tell you yet. But yeah, but look at you. You're in pretty good health. Look at how God has given us so many blessings. Not only that, we're alive in this time. Right? Used to be some of the conditions that people in our church have, the doctor would have just said, well, we'll keep you comfortable. But God, but they have done great things with medicine. By the grace of God, we're alive today because of things God's given us through medication, through procedures and surgeries. And thank God for air conditioning. Amen. I knew I'd get Gracie to amen me some point here. Thank God. Man, think about what we have. We are so blessed. How many of you tied up your horse and buggy this morning? No, you drove an automobile here. It had air conditioning, radio, and probably heated seats in it. Look at where we are. Thank God for where we are. And Nathan says to David, God speaks through Nathan and says, and if that had not been enough, I would have done more. If that had been too little. Guys, as Christians, with great faith in God and great understanding of our eternity, we should be the last ones to be looking over the balcony at things we shouldn't look at. Or staying home from places that we're supposed to be fighting the battle. Or getting our friends to manipulate the story to make us look good. Remember, Bathsheba became a pregnant widow, and King David saved the day, brought her into his own house. What a great humanitarian. No, he is covering a crime. Guys, look at the stuff that we do, and it shows that we're not thankful. We don't appreciate the goodness of God. God's been so good to us. Man, we ought to be singing His praises every day. We ought to be so thankful. And yes, there's a storm coming, but you know what would have happened before they had radar? We wouldn't even know there was a storm coming. Thank God we're able now. You notice it's no longer an incident. Now this is an event. The difference between an incident and an event is you can plan for an event. And we're making plans. What we're going to do if it does get here. Or what it's going to do if it goes around us and we got to go help somebody else. We can plan for that. Thank God we're alive today. And most of us have that radar on our phones. We just look at it and go, where's the storm? Well, it's right here. I can tell you exactly where it is. Wow, what a great time to be alive. Not only that, but this evening, I guess, at this point now in Israel, it's already sunset. And so it's Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, the Feast of Trumpets. It's a two-day celebration for the New Year. Well, what if Jesus comes back today? Wouldn't that be great? Man, not only all the blessings we have here, but we're going to heaven. Hallelujah. We're going to heaven. We could go today. Consider all that God has given us. Our freedom, our health, material sufficiency, the church, our salvation, hope, love, forgiveness. How can we be ungrateful? How can we not see how blessed we are, even as undeserving as we are? Take it for granted. How can we pursue that which is outside of God's will? Outside of God's plan? How can we ignore God's goodness and jeopardize everything God's given us by pursuing things God has forbidden us? God sees. God knows. God knows our sin. Verse 13, David didn't get mad at Nathan. David didn't get mad at God. David didn't try to blame Bathsheba or Uriah. David said in verse 13, I've sinned. I have sinned. Let me assure you that even if your parents don't deserve Parent of the Year, at some point it's your responsibility. Even if people have mistreated you, misguided you, and taken advantage of you, at some point, it's your responsibility. And so you must take responsibility. God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He knows we're not perfect, but He gave His life anyway. So if you will call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. God, I'm a sinner. I know Jesus died and rose again for my sins, and I ask You to forgive my sins and save my soul. God, I give my life to You in Jesus Christ. And God will forgive your sins. He'll save your soul. He'll write your name in the book of life. And you'll have an eternal home in heaven. No excuses for being derelict, for being rebellious and reckless. No excuses. Because at some point, it's no longer about all the people around us. At some point, you've got to take responsibility for your actions. Thou art the man. I have sinned. And just like that, David took responsibility. I have sinned. Verse 14, Nathan responds, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies. Hey, you are a child of God, and the things that you do reflect on God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As a member of this church, the things that you do reflect on this church. Brother Foggy never joined the church. And I didn't approach the subject. He did. He said, Pastor, I won't join the church. I love the church. Faithful. Believed in what we do. But he said, if I go bowling, I have a beer, and that would be hypocritical for me to join the church and drink beer. So he said, I'll just observe from the outside as a friend of the church. Isn't that incredible? That someone would have such understanding of integrity that he would say, I don't want to compromise. I don't want to look bad on the church. Because he thought about the church. Now, of course, it would have been good if he just said, well, I'll join the church and not drink a beer when I bowl. But he had a conviction about that, that a church member shouldn't do that. And so he didn't join the church. Our sin and rebellion affects those around us. It affects the people around us so that they see, oh, well, that's a member of that church. That's a Christian. Our sin affects those around us. We looked at Sunday school this morning. The sins of Achan not only affected his family, but it affected 36 other families directly. Why? Because he was sinful and greedy and selfish. Really, guys, let's look at our sin. Why do we do it? Jeopardize all that God has given us? For what? A moment of pleasure? We need to stand strong in God's faith, in God's way, because God's way works. And don't try to force our plan into God's plan. See, David said, I'll do God's will, but I just want to squeeze in some of my own will too. And by squeezing his own will into God's plan, it blew the whole thing up. We continue to read there, we would see that the child that was produced from that affair with Bathsheba died. Not only did that child die, but there was a sword on the home of David, the house of David, for years. Three of his sons being murdered. Two by their own brothers. We must know that our actions have consequences. We must know that even if it doesn't show up today, that it will show up. So the best thing we could do is get right with God, be where God wants us to be, repent of our sin. You know, we talked about Rosh Hashanah and the Feast of Trumpets. The Jews, as part of that observance, will throw stones into water over these 2 days. The stones in the water to represent them casting away their sin. Not so much that they're the mind of being forgiven for those sins, but just saying, I want it out of my life. So how about this morning we cast the proverbial stone into the water and get that sin out of our lives before it destroys us and others around us. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace and for this time when we can come together. Lord, it's one of the harder subjects to approach with King David because he is so highly regarded. And yet, even he was not without sin. We look at our lives and we see how blessed we are. God, help us to cherish you the heart that you have shown by giving us so much, Lord, that we would not take for granted the life that you have laid out before us, that we would not sin and be beset by those sins off course, but to stay in your will and to realize the fullness of your purpose. In Jesus' name. Pray where you are for your heart to God. God, forgive my sins. God, I trust in you. What's on your heart? What's on your mind? Anything else before we're dismissed? All right. Glad you're here today. Hope you'll be back. Have service tonight, 6 o'clock. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Now, as we said, if there's a storm, obviously, you just use your best judgment, but we'll put notices out best we can, let everybody know if we're not having church Wednesday night. Looks like the storm is predicted to be here Thursday, but, you know, that's one part. So we'll just watch to see what happens. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Andy, would you dismiss us, please?